Blog Talk Radio.
And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, they be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. Mind, body, and soul,
is you living?
We all under attack,
is you different?
I know niggas existing in two prisons, feeling they through living like death is too tempting. What's a day worth? Put a price on it. He was 17, the judge dropped life on him. He ain't live yet, now he in the tight corner.
Gang got their sights on him,
on the yard with a knife on him. Family trying to tell him to chill, we gon' get you home. He like, how my pills dead, they took the wrong. That's kinda cold when you think about it. He shot a nigga, he ain't think about it, didn't even blink about it. But he was trapped in the hood and couldn't think about it, really trying to be about it. Never left his public housing, which resembles the dormitories he's trapped in. So who knew that they was prepping him back then? Yeah, on how to live packed in, make him hate his black skin. I swear it's all facts, man.
Yeah, I swear to God it's all facts, man.
So you should let the track spin. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take it back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take it back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though.
Remember calling my mom to tell my sentence.
Since I don't do no snitching, I'm not a witness. They gave me 23 years, ma.
I'm finished.
I think she cried for like 15 minutes. Over the years, there's enough tears to fill a lake. A lot of trips on
interstates for visiting.
Remember Tony got stabbed.
May he rest in peace.
Stressed my mother so bad, she barely slept for weeks. Thankful that it wasn't me. Knowing prison dangers. Doing time with lifers and killers and gangbangers. Some of us get caught in the matrix, but can you blame us? Trapped in cages like animals trying to tame us. Parole hearings are jokes, you go up 50 times. Same excuse every time. Serious nature of the crime. I can't change the crimes that I committed, but I can't change my mind and not repent. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though.
Bismillah. Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu, Allah Rasulullah, Mubad. And in translation to all our lovely guests tonight, I said, in the name of God, all praise and thanks belongs to God. And may his praise and salutations be upon last field messenger, Muhammad, and to proceed. Welcome, everyone, to another blessed night of Point of Impact, the podcast that talks about the direct issues and coming with direct solutions and direct talk. We're here tonight, and I'd like to thank you all for joining us. Me and my lovely co-host, our wonderful mother and queen, of course, Krista Ellison, and my brother, my true brother in struggle and faith, my brother Hassan Shabazz. And, of course, myself, yours truly, Derek L. Hansford, Malai Minhaj, to all of my beloved people. Listen, we here tonight, Community United Focus, Cuffs, and Freedom Over Everything, Foe. We here tonight. We are here to have a wonderful topic and conversation. This is Sunday, November the 6th. And, yeah, we doing what we do. You know, I'm sitting in my office. Of course, that's in my car, Freedom, where I love to enjoy this podcast and I get my mind free and focused. You know what I'm saying? This, this is my spot right here. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to have a wonderful show. And let's not forget our producer, producer, brother Jay Sean, always holding down the technical issues of our podcast. And by the way, if we have any technical difficulty, just be patient, everyone. Call in and remember to press 1. Please remember to press 1 when you call in so that we can include you into the conversation and take your comments and your positive energy, okay? So we're joined tonight with someone who has enlightened my life throughout my life. Since the day she came into this earth, and that is my little beloved sister. But she's not here tonight because she's my sister. She'll probably touch on a number of issues, but the one issue that we really want to talk about, because we've been really talking into the issues of education and the necessary need of a black curriculum for our black youth in this country of America that has abused our black people and who has stripped us of a lot of who we are. And it's a necessary need, I believe. And we're going to talk about that. And we're also going to talk about how, you know, the mental health of our youth, you know, and how, you know, a lot of attention hasn't been given and it needs to be given to the, you know, helping our youth to restore themselves in esteem and confidence of who they are as black people. No one understands. We're not talking in a national as nationalists, as black nationalists. We're just talking to the needs of a people who have suffered here in this country for over 400 years, and it seems to have been ignored. So we're just talking to the topic. We're not black nationalists. We're for all people, and we're for freeing all people from oppressions, and that's what we do here in addressing the issues of criminal justice reform. Nikki, are you with us?
Oh.
Jay Sean?
Mm-hmm.
The last four digits was 8861. Nikki, you with us?
I'm here. How you doing?
Oh, wow.
Okay, alhamdulillah. There go my baby. There go my baby, yeah. Alhamdulillah. Nikki, you want to introduce yourself to the people and tell them what you do and who you are?
My name is Tomorrow. But my brother calls me Nikki. All of my family and friends call me Nikki. I am the founder and a behavioral and mental health therapist for Tomorrow's Change, located in Delaware. I've been in the field for over, I guess it's been about 22 years now.
Wow.
Yeah, that's who I am.
That's great.
And she's also a wonderful mother and wife, I got to tell you.
Okay.
Yeah. She's outstanding. But most importantly, she's the greatest sister in the world. She really is. So, you know, it was a while ago, but you shared with me your dissertation once when you were going, you know, you were going for your doctorate and things, and you shared with me your dissertation, and I was so amazed at the topic in which you had chose to write upon and build upon. I want you to share with us, like, why do you think it is so important for there to be a curriculum that addresses the needs of young black children in America today?
Well, I can go so many directions with that, but to keep it simple, from my experience in the field of behavioral and mental health, one of the things that I have come across is that we have a lot of young people who are unaware of their identity. They don't know who they are. A lot of what it is that they believe about themselves has been introduced to them through this Eurocentric educational system and society. And during my dissertation, which I ended up abandoning because I wasn't able to do my dissertation on complete my dissertation on something that I felt passionate about, and it was something where I felt a little too much control from the educational system, so I decided not to move forward with my PhD and remained at a master's level on purpose. So when I was doing my dissertation, I learned about a gentleman named Molefe Asante, who introduced Afrocentricity back in the 1980s. And from learning about him, I started to look into information about Afrocentric education. And that's something that was presented, or I should say introduced, by parents who felt that we did a disservice to our children by allowing our children to enter into the Eurocentric school system. And the more research I did, the more I realized that there are a lot of things that our children are missing. For example, just seeing representation of ourselves in the school systems. Once we started to integrate, our black teachers began to lose positions. We started to see more white teachers, white gym teachers, white art teachers, so on and so forth, and we saw less of ourselves. So one of the things that has happened is that it dumbed down the education for our children. And all you have to do is just take a look at society right now, and you can see what, how we're represented. So imagine, this is social, you know, social media, the news, in the school systems, and then we wonder why we have no identity, and we're kind of struggling now to find who we are. We're getting better, and we're finding our way now, but I believe that if we had a system that was put in place where we can teach our children from pre-K, that we would find that there would be a bigger difference in the way that our kids grow up and the types of societies that we would live in.
Wow, that's powerfully true. And I can definitely identify with that, like going through my years of going through, you know, the educational system, you know, and really not really, you know, when you learn like history and things, there's not really much that is inputted on the black, you know, achievements of black people in America, except for the fact of like, you know, Martin Luther King or Malcolm X, you know what I'm saying? These influential people.
And aside from that, you know, we have to remember that we started before enslavement. You know, we didn't just become, we weren't born.
That's right.
We weren't born in enslavement. There was a whole culture and tribes, and, you know, we were queens and kings. We weren't this. So our kids need to learn what we were before here. You know, they need to learn that everything about the United States came from Africa. You know, these people, the people here only have and know what they know because of us. So our children should know that. You know, it gives them something that they can aspire to.
Well, right now, Queen Mother of Point of Impact and Freedom Over Everything, Sister Krista, would you like to present a question at this moment?
I know I wanted to say, you know, I see a big difference. You know, I have three girls, 21, 18, and 5, and I went from Southside Richmond, which is public schools, to Henrico County, which is the county schools, and I purposely volunteer in the school so I could be kind of like a fly on the wall to know what it was that the kids was learning and how my children would be treated as being the minority in an all white school, or it was very diverse with mostly Indian, Asian, and white, I would say. So I can tell you that the school system is very different from city, from county. We all know that. But the culture and how white, Indian, Asian, Asians and Indians most times identify more with the white culture than their own as well when it comes to the school system. And they too have lost their and they think the European way, and they love to learn the European way
yeah.
to fit in. It's kind of like trying to have a seat at their table. And I watch children of so many cultures lose their identity.
Nikki, you want to chime in on that?
The difference between us and them is that they may appear to have lost their identity when they're in school and they're at work, but you trust and believe when those kids go home, they speak the language, they follow the culture, you know, and this is in the Indian, for lack of a better word, the Indian culture, Asian culture, even a lot of our Hispanic cultures. They have something to hold on to. We don't have, unless it's been taught through Africa, like visiting Africa or having family from Africa, we don't really know what that is. We've created a culture, you know,
right.
because, you know, thank God we can survive and create cultures anywhere. But those young people, and again, I've seen it through experience, they go home and when they come through that door, they have to speak Chinese, you know, they have to speak Spanish. People are not saying, their parents are not letting them go home and bring in that mess that they learn out there. You come in here and you act the way you're supposed to act based off our culture, and when you go out there, you do what you have to do so that you can survive and be comfortable, you know,
Hey, listen, and that is so, because when I was growing up in, you know, in going through the prison system, a lot of times, you know, Arabic and Swahili were the languages that brothers would try to, you know, learn, and it's like you feel so much, how can I say, you feel a little more of your own, having your own identity when you know you're speaking the language of your predecessors, you know what I'm saying, and those who came before you. Hassan, you want to ask a question or you want to add on to that?
Listen, most definitely. You know me, brother. Education is one of my focal points as it pertains to my experience with being in prison for 23 and a half years. I found that education was the only method of my escape during that time period. And what I learned through that process and many different things, but just touching on the basis of what Sis is saying about the black curriculum, right? The need for a black curriculum, and for all those individuals out there, you know, I want you to speak a little bit to the need of it, because a lot of them don't understand when we talk about that. It's also in you know, a reflection of what took place when we came out of slavery and integration began to be implemented in America, was that the sons and daughters of the Confederacy, especially here in Virginia, they had a hand in exactly what was put into the textbooks, right? Exactly how their history was going to be conveyed. And so I want you to speak a little bit just toward the need for a black curriculum as pertains to what's necessary to combat white supremacy, because many of us being taught by an educational system that was built only to assimilate and not to elevate. So I would like you to speak to a little bit to that effect, if you can.
I totally agree. It's so interesting because when there was a period that I was working in the school system and I was going in, you know, providing therapy to the kids. And one of the things that was the most disturbing to me was that I was going into, like, the charter schools. And all of the years that I've learned about charter schools, you know, it was originally created so that, you know, African-centered education can be taught. So and what that meant was that the education was being taught about Africans and culture, the culture of Africans. And it didn't involve anything that had to do with us being enslaved and freedom fighting all of this kind of stuff. So when I started to work in these charter schools, this is what I expected to see, and I didn't. What I did see is the art in the walls, on the walls, yes, you know, you did see some Afrocentric art, you know, that kind of thing. You did, you saw quite a few African black teachers and principals and things of that nature, and but you also saw some whites in the school system. And then when you go and you look at the curriculum, it is extremely similar to that of a public school. And for me, it's like, okay, so where is this thing that our people wanted to see happen in a charter right. school that was specifically designed for our children? Where is it? So it ended up getting lost in the system of, we're still going to figure out a way to make you teach what we want your kids to learn. And we
wow.
and we stood for it. You know, we allowed this to become what it is. You know, I'm not saying that that is all that we need to learn, but what I'm saying is that it's an important piece
right.
of being able to find ourselves and know, you got to know where you come from to know where you're going. We did
That's
not
right.
come from slavery.
Right.
You know, we did not come from having to spend every day of our lives battling for freedom. You know, and when these things are in the back of our kids' minds, how do we expect them to become kings and queens that they are in a country like this? And we're allowing this to continue to be. You know, our daughter, you know, for example, she did her own research. She will not send our grandson to school. You know, she's like, as much as I would love for him to be able to have the experience, I'm going to educate him and teach him what I need him to know.
Okay.
I want his grandparents mm-hmm. to teach him what he needs to know. His father to teach him what he needs to know. His father being first generation out of Sierra Leone. You know, he
okay.
learned this Eurocentric education. So, you know, we all have to take responsibility for our kids and what they learn. Okay, they may have to go to these schools, but what are we doing at home? What are we teaching them when they're not in school?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
right,
you know,
exactly.
And you know, that's critical, because how can we, majority of African American citizens don't really focus on, or don't really have a foundation of their cultural background as African people. You understand? So
that's
really
why I say it is so important for it to start as young as pre-K, if and when possible, because mm-hmm. we're lost. Like, we're learning ourselves.
That's right.
And that's not all
that's
of
right.
us, because something happened in my life, in your lives, my husband's life, something happened that triggered this idea of, like, let me dig further. Let me see what else is going on. Everybody don't have that opportunity. So meanwhile,
yeah.
you have these families, you know, who, unfortunately, they're not able to, like you're saying, Malai, you know, they don't have it to teach. But
right.
it's not a lost cause. Each one teach
no,
one.
Not.
It only takes one. It only takes one to change to change a community.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And with Ooh. That, we're gonna at this moment. We're gonna see if we have any callers in that would like to ask a question or would even like to give a comment to the subject matter. Jay Sean, do we have anybody calling in that would like to speak?
0887, you live.
Hello? Hello? Could you introduce yourself?
Go first.
Yes. Good evening. I'm Dr. Nathaniel Morris. I'm an educator, and I've been listening to what you all have been saying, and so much of this is true. But I was talking, I was listening. You know, we have this Black History Month thing. This has been the thing with me. We have Black History Month, and it's been going on now for 50, 60 years. Why do we need to have Black History Month when we've been rewritten the history books I don't know how many times, and we can already go on and put the Black History in there? Now, I know someone who does, who's doing excellent work on culturally responsive teaching. in which would actually help us from pre-K through 12. The other thing is, too, I heard them, y'all were talking about the Asians and Mexicans and whatnot. When they go home and they speak in that language and they're learning their culture, well, as African-Americans, we lost that a long time ago.
Yes, sir.
We don't have that anymore. What we have is what we learned while we were enslaved.
Right.
The Africans even don't recognize us. So what do we go
That's
from
right.
here?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nikki, you want to respond to that?
Again, it's all about being able to find platforms such as this where you can talk about it. One of the more difficult parts of it is focused on those who don't know, because it's so many, unfortunately, so many of us who just don't know.
Right.
It's so unfortunate. So platforms like this where people can listen and hear and get some sort of enlightenment, that's about the only way that we can make a difference, and it starts with us. You know, we're in age now. We're getting ready to have grandchildren if we don't already have them. You know, it's just got to start
somewhere. Hold on. Don't be telling everybody my age, okay? No, I'm kidding.
Listen,
okay.
I said we either
okay.
have them or will.
Dr. Morrison, is that my...
Yes.
Thank you for calling in, brother. Tell me, are you teaching at this present moment?
Pardon me?
Are you teaching at this present moment?
Yes.
Where are you teaching at this present moment?
I'd rather not say.
Okay. When I say that, I mean what state in the city are you?
Good evening. Dr. Morrison, we teach in our urban school district, so more marginalized communities. And so listening to you all tonight, the part that we all wanted to add in was the piece on also for like cultural responsiveness in most of the classrooms. So he and I have to deal with the fact that we don't have a lot of black educators in our classrooms, and so we have to cultivate a lot of whites to work with urban kids who basically what happened for us is for once the pandemic hit, we lost a lot of our kids due to the workforce, where a lot of the parents won't let them come back to school because a lot of them tell us that they now have to work. So we're now having to combat with trying to convince parents that school is the place for them to be, when right now parents are telling us no, they're out there working, and that's what they need for them to be. And so on top of everything else, black communities have to deal with violence and all the other things that you can imagine, single-family homes. Still, we're combating with teenage pregnancies and those things. We're now having to combat with parents now even agreeing to say that, no, they don't want them in school, learning the curriculum, trying to get a high school diploma, even to the fact of when we offer GEDs to the families, parents are even turning those down. And so there's a lot of other things that we are also combating with, trying to get kids to value education, not only just education, but their communities as a whole.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's Krista, would you like to respond to that, Krista?
My next question was the phrase preschool to prison pipeline. That phrase alone, you know, it is toxic in so many ways that for anybody to say a preschool to prison pipeline, you're already pretty much setting up the kids for failure, is what it sounds like.
Sure.
So, So when people say prison, preschool is a prison pipeline, like I always say, I tell people always, the government flows in the pipe, and the water is representation of the flow of what the government money and whatever, and then we're the pipe. If we get out of order, once we get out of order, flow, then or we stand for something and we mess up their flow, it falls back and it trickles back down on our children and on the law. We will no longer have access to. So we most definitely need to build our own. We most definitely need to build our own and educate our at an early age, because they're old enough to play the phone and they're young and they're old enough to learn about their culture and they know at a age a lot of what
Excuse me. There's a lot of background noise. I can't hardly hear
Stacey, can you mute until you're ready to? Stacey, can you guys mute until you're ready to? Okay, thank you. So you're ready to speak. You can come back in when you're ready to speak. Just because it's a little loud effect. No, mm-hmm. That's. I was gonna say. I just didn't want to cut Krista off. Go ahead, Krista.
Just saying, like a preschool, the prison pipeline is just, you know, the phrase alone is very detrimental, and we as a people can need to know what, you know, how to read between the lines. In a way that we, you know, we can reverse those curses that's bestowed on us.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, I cannot, you know, when I was a youth and I was growing up, going through a lot of changes, you know what I'm saying, throughout my, you know, my years of schooling and things like that. And I'm going to tell you, I remember very, very vividly when I was a youth and the movie Roots came out. You remember that?
Right.
Hello?
Yeah.
Listen, I got suspended from school 5 times for fighting I literally was like in shock, you know what I'm saying, of what I saw and how, you know, the treatment of slavery and to understand how black people were, you know, denigrated and were being systematically destroyed, you know what I'm saying, and were treated like animals, like pure animals, like they were livestock, you know what I'm saying, and to think that I was viewed that way, you know, it really hurt me when I was a youth, and I'm telling you, I literally got suspended 5 times in a row, you know what I'm saying,
fighting.
And not really knowing where to direct my energy and my anger. You know what I'm saying? And I was very rebellious. And I was going to school 15 at that time. I lived right on Oak Street, and I was going to school 15 at that time, and I was in the fifth grade. And, you know, it was really it impacted me in a very hurtful way because, you know, I didn't have much knowledge as a kid of anything that, you know, when I went to school, we didn't talk about the historical achievements of black people. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
In my schooling years, there was no classes of African studies and things of that nature. You know what I mean? It was just purely history, and you went and you learned about Christopher Attucks and Martin Luther King, and you know, you didn't even listen. D.E.B. Du Bois and Marcus Garvey. All of these people weren't even mentioned, you know.
That's
right. You know, they weren't even mentioned, and it wasn't until later years that I started learning. You know, and even like the Black Panther, they were mentioned, but they were looked down upon. You know, they were mentioned in a manner in which, you know, was like rebellious
negative-like.
And you know, like criminal like nature. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So. You know, and these are the things that impact our youth in a lot of ways, you know, even now today. Nick, you want to speak to that, Nick?
No, I totally agree. I agree. You know, we got to be really careful, too, because, the other side of that is that we're given people that we can look up to. You know, when you look at your Oprahs and Michael Jordans and, you know, Jay-Z, that's not – it's all well and good that they are here and that we can look at them as people who have made it in the United States. But, again, this is not where we begin. Show my kids, my grandkids, what we were before. I want to know where the heck I came from. I want to know that – we don't even know what some kids don't even know what a tribe is. What is a tribe? And when you look at how, you know, Africans, you know, whether it be through tribes or what have you, when you look at, you know, we weren't individualized. We were a community. We helped each other. We loved each other. You know, there was no, it's all about me and that's it. You know, it's just so many things that are entangled in us knowing where we came from that will help make our children better adults, you know, will give us better communities. But we it's just not there. It's not offered to us. And we have to make a way, find a way for it to be something that our kids can see.
Ms. Armstead, are you still with us? Ms. Armstead?
Yeah, we're still here.
Would you like to add on to that? Would you like to comment on that?
Well, we were reflecting on when you all were speaking on the school to prison pipeline. And again, you know, we're speaking just specifically from a urban school district. And, you know, a lot of that, again, comes from the miseducation of non-whites trying to educate blacks living in poverty. And the majority of that comes from the fact that we don't have the resources to combat with a lot of the behaviors that are in schools. School isn't made to deal with the type of behaviors that are coming in there. Specifically nowadays. And so a lot of the ways that people deal with it is just to brush it off and get it off their table, so to speak. But nowadays we're combated with students bringing guns, knives to school because of heightened fears of themselves being attacked or different things. And school is just not, it's not built for that. It's not, you know, school is not a mental hospital. It's not. And so, you know, we have this whole thing like it's intentionally being done for the school-to-prison pipeline, but it's not that way, and it's because of the lack of resources and miseducation of this that's going on.
Right, right.
And,
I want to let Nikki
interject real quick on the mental health aspect, as Ms. Armstead just spoke on. And, Nikki, can you – and then I'm going to let you go ahead and ask a question, brother, okay? Nikki, can you speak to that mental health the aspect that Ms. Armstead just spoke on?
Yes. Unfortunately, that's another issue that we are faced with. As we know, that mental health in our community has been little to none. You know, we're told to go pray about it, what happens in the home, stay in the home, you know, that kind of thing. Our people are starting to, and I'm only saying starting to because I'm starting to see a lot more in our practice. They're starting to come around a little bit to allowing people who specialize in assisting with behaviors and mental health to step in. What I've learned from my experience with parents, particularly those in certain communities, is that there's a lack of trust. There's a lack of understanding and definitely a lack of resources. There's not enough of us, and us meaning black people that are in the field. So we have a shortage in that sense. I had one young lady, she was 12, who was in a group home that I was working for, tell me that she didn't trust anyone beyond her family because everyone who came to quote-unquote save her was white and they failed her. So she refused to do anything to do, you know, to do anything that I was asking her to do because she felt that the person in the black robe was there, the person in the uniform, the blue uniform. You know, there was just absolutely no trust in me as a therapist. And it's something that I come across a lot when I'm dealing with the older kids and, you know, in some of these communities. So that's another thing that we have to work really hard at, figuring out how to fix, because without the resources, without the trust, you know, we're going to stay stuck in this situation. You know, it's just not going to be any other recourse. So, you know, and I my heart goes out to the two that's on the phone that are actually experiencing this on a daily basis, because I definitely know what it's been like for me as a mental health therapist. So it's tough. It's really hard.
Yeah, and let us all be grateful, and we give all praise due to God, and we give all praise and thanks to God for people as Ms. Stacey Armstead, who is a vice principal, at, Mr. Dr. Morrison, and many others. We salute you all for the dedicated work that you are doing with our community, with our children, you know, because it's so needed. And I personally have experienced being in the presence of these persons, and when I tell you they are impacting our children, they are impacting our children. And I think I'm thankful that we have people like them in areas of, that we as parents are maybe not able to be so hands-on. Hassan, you want to speak to that, brother? Yeah,
I do very much so. And I appreciate the comments and, you know, the questions of everyone that has already been on here before tonight. I really do think that this is an urgent issue. When I think about famed psychologist Dr. Amos N. Wilson, right, and he has a book called The Falsification of African Consciousness. He also has a book called The Development of the Genius in Black Children, right? And I would I would tell every family who has a black child to go out and get that book, right, by Dr. Amos N. Wilson. Make sure that you start to do these things, right? Because what he says in there is that when it comes down to the psychology of our black children, that our black children, nothing that we do as far as education-wise concern is going to take root in them unless they have some type of cultural base or foundation, right? They have to have a cultural base or foundation to grow from, which means that they need to know themselves so that they can properly understand how mathematics is applied to them, how science is applied to them, how English is applied to them, how all these different subjects are applied to them. And so the need for that, first, before we even get into the schools, right, in the black family, in the black household, is that there has to be some type of cultural staple implemented there so that the children have something to grow from. And if the families don't have it, then we have to be about our business of striving to do whatever we can to give it to them, right? Even if we create hubs of information for children to come, because it takes a village to raise a child, right? So if we have a center where the children can even come to learn those things, coupled with the help of educators, principals, vice principals, teachers, from the highest to the lowest, then we can get to a holistic solution. But until we come down to that realization, right, our children are going to be forever plagued with the diseases of mental slavery because we have not done the things necessary to free them, right? Really what I wanted to say. With that being said, like, I'm really all about the work. I love to talk about this. I love these things. But when I'm around children, I was around two of them today, right? I realized that I had a responsibility with them to give them whatever I could to make their lives better, right? And we have to all stand up and do our part, man. This is not going to be a one size fit all. It's all of us got different fingerprints. We all have to be involved, right?
That's right. And you
that's
know,
what I
want. That was
I
very
that's my comment.
Our model is a nation, a life today, a nation tomorrow. Tap into one. If you can't do two, three, four, tap into one. One.
Mm-hmm. Say that again. Say that again. What is the model?
Life,
say it again.
A life today, a nation tomorrow. Mm-hmm. If you can just tap
on,
into
y'all.
One child, one person, and it can make such a such a major difference. So, yeah, we can't save the world. We can't figure it all out right now. But if we can help one, two, three children, you know, plant that seed, it can go a long way. If we have adults who are willing to listen and to make changes, if we can plant that seed, it will go even further.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of doing,
you
know, doing our part. That's, you know, do what we can do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Jason, do we have any other callers that would like to chime in? Do we have anyone else that would like to speak?
Not at this moment.
Okay. Mm. Okay. Well, when we do, just let us know. This is a tremendous, you know, I had came to my team, and
I believe there's some interference going on. I'm not sure what happened.
Oh, I can hear you now.
Oh, yeah, I can hear you too, but I don't hear anyone else.
Anyone else? Oh, okay.
Are they there? Is everybody there? Is everyone there?
I'm here, but I wanted to know. Sean's still on
because
maybe we're the ones that cut out.
Oh, we all got cut. Okay,
I think that Brother Malai's call got dropped. I'm going to call him back. But
okay, so he's going to call back. Hello? In a while.
Yeah, okay. Indeed. Okay, that's good. We proceed. Yeah, we need to proceed.
Hello?
Yes.
Well, there he is.
Malai, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay,
we,
good.
We
got disconnected for a moment. Small hiccup. Yes, sir. Please continue.
But, you know, as I was saying, like, this is like, you know, I am, and the beautiful thing about everyone that's on this conversation are people of action. And that's what we have to be more about. You know, one of the things that frustrates me so much about a lot of the activism that I see going on here is everybody wants to have a meeting. Let's have a meeting. We need another meeting. let's have another meeting. You understand what I'm saying? And it kills me because it's so annoying. I'm like, okay, well, when are we going to start having meetings and start putting some things into action? And,
a bunch of promises and no action.
Yeah, and it's like, to me, you know, it's so, it's very arrogant, you know, and to think that, you know, we do have solutions, and the solution starts with action. You know, when you attain knowledge requires action. As one of the profound scholars of Islam, Ali, may Allah's protection be upon him, and he said that knowledge pertains to action. And when you start as a people, when we have attained this knowledge, we have a responsibility to act on it. And it's sad that so many times everybody's talking about having a meeting. You know, everybody wants to sit down and seem like they're notary person, and they're sitting at the table and they're talking with all of this numbers and math and, oh, you know, we need, no, all this intellectual conversation. That ain't bringing upon results, you know, and it sickens me because we got to stop being hypocrites. We got to stop being procrastinators, and we got to start being people of action. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And tonight it is so reinforcing to me to hear Dr. Morrison, Stacey Armstead, to hear my sister, Nikki, and to, of course, my team, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is encouraging to me. This is encouraging to me because we all are invested. We all are invested, and the angles that we're all taking are angles that bring upon, you know, resolution. And I just want everyone to continue to work hard and continue to, you know, come together to make things happen, because we can change. We can, and I'm not talking about an overnight change. Let's be, you know, when I say change, don't come at me. You don't come at me and be unrealistic. You know, I mean, of course, it's going to take time, but we can change. Right. And that's, and the proof of that is us, everyone here speaking, because everyone here has a story. Everyone here has a story of where we came from, and where we came from definitely wasn't where we at now. You understand?
Right.
So this is fabulous. Krista, would you like to chime in, sis?
You know, you took the words out of my mouth. Well, I'm sitting here listening to everybody. Y'all know my mind is like a machine. I always think of ways we can plan of action, you know. So there are so many different avenues that I'm sitting here thinking of we can most definitely take to bring about change. And just starting with a pledge, starting with, you know, pledging that we'll, as parents, I have to repent to my children. I have a 21 and an 18-year-old that I put through the school system, and my 21-year-old at George Mason. And, you know, she's an honor roll student, and she stays on top. But she's on top of the Europe. She has a European way of thinking. You know, she has that European curriculum that she's learned, and she's learned to be an abiding citizen, which really does not – which only allows her to be part of that pipeline. And she's, you know what I'm saying, she's going to prison. So I do have to repent to my own children. And I also have a five-year-old that you all know that I'm trying to get her to Ghana as ASAP. So she will no longer have to suffer the European lifestyle.
Right.
So you know, I have one that I've already put through the ringer, and the other one I don't want her to have to go through the ringer. So and that's what we as a people have to do. We have to first see the fault in us and where we did the damage as parents, and then correct that, and to correct ourselves, and then we can correct our children. We just can't go and try to point the finger at the children, tighten up, sit down, pay attention, do as this, or we're going to change the whole game up, and we're going to now do it this way. No, we have to really tighten up on our own selves first. That's what I do.
And see, that's why she's queen mother, y'all. Y'all see what she just mothered everybody, right?
that's right.
And that is so that's what we need to hear, Krista. Thank you so much. That was so powerful. I think I really like that was really powerful. Nikki, we have four minutes. Would you like to round up in your last words what you would like to say to everyone and leave us with?
It's listening to what everybody is sharing. It's not a whole lot to say. It appears that we are kind of all thinking alike. We're on the same page. I love the way that the mental health piece was combined with the importance of the educational piece. You know, and again, at the end of the day, it's about what we can do. We can't save the world. We can't save a whole community. We can't do a whole lot when it's just a few of us who are realizing a lot that needs to be changed, but we can start somewhere. Platforms like this, I love what you guys are doing, you know, and not just because of Malai, but it's just a really good opportunity to say what you need to say without, you know, these past few days it's been driving me nuts that, you know, we're in this country where you supposedly can speak freely, but as soon as you say something that people don't like, then you get blackballed. You know, so you have platforms like this where you can say what you need to say, get the information out to the people who need to hear it, and then hopefully we can just start to see some changes going on, even if it's within, and eventually it will flow out.
Oh, wow. Right. Thank you, sir. And I would like to just thank my sister. I'm surprised that her twin, my brother-in-law, is not.
Oh, my man listening. My man is listening, okay? He's listening. He's just quiet.
Hey, when I tell you, that is a big surprise to me. It is unbelievable that guy who has...
You are not going to sit here and play my man. Let's stop right there. Leave him alone.
Oh, no.
Because you know, I stand by your side 150%, but don't bring my man into it.
And, you know, that's my brother, and I love him. I tell you, I love him to pieces. I love him to pieces. But we know that's my dude, and if my day ain't right, I don't shoot a shot at him.
It's just unbelievable, man. I'm downstairs, and I'm hearing people talking about me. It's just unbelievable.
Oh, well,
Here we go. Lord.
Fantastic show, man. Fantastic content. Much content, much needed. And like Smile said, you know, this is the kind of forum that has to continue.
Yeah.
And the most important thing she said that resonated with me, I have to start from within. That's where it starts.
Wow. Yes. That's my brother-in-law. That's the founder and creator of Osric Ingredients. Y'all need to go online and check it out. Osric Ingredients Cricketware. This man is a genius in what he has brought to the black community as far as entrepreneurship. And I really want people to, you know, really the work that Tomorrow's Change and Osric Ingredients is doing is tremendous. It's tremendous. Not just here in the United States, but also in St. Martin's. The work they're doing is outstanding. It's outstanding. Mm-hmm. And I'm just honored that I'm celebrated as a family member to such spectacular people. I'm getting emotional. So let me calm down. You know, that's my baby sister. So you know, I'm gonna throw a little pickle in there, y'all. You know, I was the machine behind these two coming together. But we gonna when we go to our show about black love, we'll talk about that. You know what I'm saying? But
let's just say the creator does not make mistakes. Let's just leave it right there.
And he uses who he uses to make it happen. Yes,
you're right. Right
on.
That is correct.
Right on.
So, listen, I want to really thank Mr. Dr. Morrison. I want to thank Ms. Stacey Armstead, who was supposed to be joining us tonight, and I'm hoping that she'll come again and join us again. She's a true educator out here in the city of Norfolk, and I salute all the educators throughout the United States, black or white, Hispanic or whatever, because we are, you know, teachers are very underappreciated. And this
yes,
is a
are.
Big problem in this country. And we really have to do more to support and also – and when I say support, I'm saying first and foremost, give these people the money they deserve so they can come to work and take care of their families. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
The resources.
Yes, and give them the resources that they need, you know. And matter of fact, give them the money so they can go ahead and purchase the resources that they need, because if you ain't going to do it, they will do it, you know what I'm saying? And listen, this has been a fabulous – I am so grateful for this show. Wow. You know, I think –
We're proud of you, man. Proud of you, man. Keep pushing, man. Very proud.
Well, you know – I give that to my mother and my father, and most importantly, I give it to Allah, God, and I work hard because, you know, God gave me the breath, and then he provided me with two loving parents that have fought for me to be the man I am today, and I thank them for their dedication and their honoring of their responsibility and obligations to raise me to be the best person I could be as a human being. Thank you. This has been a wonderful night. We're not gonna release this this topic. We're gonna revisit it in another 2 weeks. So if you know anybody and you want to chime in, please chime back in. Next week we have a very very influential man coming in, Phil Willetto. Please touch in because he's also going to be talking about a topic which we touched on. Because sometimes, you know, we just appreciate the people who support us. And a lot of times, you know, we forget that we ain't in the trenches with just black people. You know, there are people, you know, there are people of all persuasions who are fighting with us, who understand our plight, and who have empathy for our plight. So, you know, we want to definitely respect who are, you know, humanist people who are people who want to see humanity rise. So let's all, you know, continue to do the work we're doing. Before we go, I want to thank Jay Sean. Jay Sean, is there anything you want to say real quick, brother?
Now, just another positive and enlightened podcast. Everybody stay safe and peace.
Alhamdulillah. And so, you know, tonight I definitely want to just give all praise and thanks to Allah God for giving us all the means and the understanding, and most importantly, the wisdom to be able to, most importantly, educate ourselves. And before I go, my brother-in-law, Rick, he said something that he said it starts within. And one of the things that we're putting together a program, I'm putting together a program, man-to-man, maintain the nurture. And one of the things that in this program that we teach in the four phases, the first phase is loving yourself. And this is imperative. You know, as a people, we have to learn to love ourselves. Right now in America, black people are not loving themselves. They're killing themselves. Mm. And we have to do more to start understanding and, most importantly, how important it is to love self so that we can extend love to others. You understand? And this is a profound thing that he said. And even though he says a lot, that was one thing. I'm just shooting a shot. But that was one thing that really resonated in me because it's – we have to teach our youth. You know, I want to say something real quick. When I was, Miss Armstead had started the first day of school. She calls me. I had the day off. I was trying to rest. She calls me at 7:30 in the morning, and she wakes me, and she says, Miss Ansford, can you help me? I have a problem. I said, what's that? She says, I have a student who is refusing to go to his classes because he doesn't have an Afro pic. I said, a what? She said, an Afro pic. Can you please run out and get this young man an Afro pic for me? Because I don't have anyone else to call on. Now, mind you, I'm 25 minutes away. I got out of my bed. I went and got not one Afro pic, but I got about three or four of them. Went to the school, brought the Afro pic to the young man. And the thing that I loved the most about that experience was that I had an opportunity to express to this young man that, look, man, this is the opportunity you can't afford to pass by. They're expecting you. You are statistically already written to fail here, to turn away from education and run to the streets. They want this from you, brother. So whatever you have to do to make it here, make it here. Don't use excuses. Don't use explanations. Don't use any justifications. Get here. And whatever you have to do to get here, get here. And, you know, so once again, love our youth. Mm. Our youth are our future. Our youth are our legacy. Our youth are the people that we work hard. So as people before us, our predecessors worked hard for us. Let's give our youth the empowerment that they need. Let's give our youth the love that they need so that they can love themselves. And I want to thank everybody for a wonderful night. I want to thank my lovely host, co-host, my sister, queen, and mother. Krista Ellison, and I want to thank my brother. I love you dearly, Hassan.
Love
Shabazz.
You too, man.
Brother,
yes, sir.
You are powerful. I want to thank my producer, Jay Sean. I want to thank my lovely sister for taking the time, who was not feeling well, y'all. She was not feeling well, and she still came on the podcast.
Yes,
I want to thank Mr. Dr. Morrison and Mrs. Stacy Armstead. And I want to thank my brother Rick for participating. Thank you all.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see you all next week, same time, same place, Point of Impact. And if you know somebody and they don't know what's going on, tell them to check us out, Point of Impact.
Mm-hmm.
Direct talk, direct solutions with direct issues. We're not playing, all right? So let's get moving and let's get to work, y'all. Let's make it happen. And may Allah, God, keep us all safe and guide us upon the straight path. And before I close, everyone, if whatever you're doing right now, stop it. Stop whatever you're doing and take this time, take this moment to do something that will benefit you in this life and in the hereafter, and something that will benefit your family and something that will benefit your community. Good night. We love you. And thank you all for joining us. Everyone have a safe night. Peace.
Shout out, Young Swiss.
I'm down on one knee, I hope you need a tissue. Do you take me for eternity? And make a pinky promise that you'll never leave. Even when you're mad at me, just don't up and leave. The future's scary, I don't wanna see. My life without you will be a tragedy. When I wake up in the mornings, you will wanna see. I'm sorry, babe, there's so much that I wanna say. First, let me ask you, will you marry me?
Oh my God, I'm seriously about to cry right now. Are you serious?
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do.